Maybe we may want to have a discussion.
Yeah, I know that the letter that they wrote, you know, trying to bring to attention to the issue. Maybe we may want to have a discussion to just to reflect as we prepare for the department coming on coming next week. Maybe we may want to reflect on this issue.
Thank you, Chair. I want to make a follow-up on the issue which the CFO was raising in relation to the radical economic transformation. I think Chair was caught on in terms of being specific as to what the country is doing, making sure that they transform the sector in terms of capacity building. My question is, are you from now on in a position to indicate in the next 3 or 5 years as to how far we have gone in terms of building capacity, specifically on black people, ensuring that they also dominate that particular space? Because Chair, we've been complaining since we arrived here in 2014 that CCTA is a space which is dominated by only white companies. You know them. So I want to understand whether they will be able to indicate in the next 3 or 5 years where would they be in terms of building that particular capacity expansion.
Okay, thank you for all of those questions. I want to ask perhaps a follow-up question to a question that I've asked earlier on. On the total budget that you have on CAPEX, granted you source funds out there and then have project finance based. Of that, are you able to say to us X percentage it has gone over the past year or the coming year, or the experience out there has gone to black companies, X number has gone to white companies, especially the big ones, so that we don't speak in parables? Initially we've been talking and talking up in the sky about all the suppositions. If we were to be very specific on that specific one.
Thank you, Chair. I think we can be able to provide that information. Often right now, I don't think we can be able to give you the numbers we can provide them to you. But what I know for a fact is that there is money that went into the developing business, but the problem is that it was not in the core, which is doing the meaningful transform the ancillary infrastructure around some of the main projects that we need. But we'll be able to provide those. The issue around the bazaar, we do advertise, Chair. Whether it's making an impact or not, we are not really satisfied. Yes, where we are able to, we're able to absorb the effect during the period when we are funding the students. We also invite them to come through during holiday period to somehow during the process. They are also they're doing very well in the other bursaries and then there are other companies that entice them. But it's an area that we can still do more. The impact is not quite what we'd love to see. I will first see if the charges.
Thank you.
One, but
But you can also say that you are well cushioned with your conservative approach that you've taken, 70% of which is fixed in terms of as your terms for your facilities that you take.
Yes, Chair, thank you for highlighting that again, because it is just one of the risk mitigations that we put up, that our board put in place, that you have to follow this, and we have to manage the risk this way. So it does cushion the impact of sudden increases in interest rates that we would have paid the cost of borrowing. And luckily for the current portfolio, it would have been fixed at a low interest rate environment. So going forward, we are pushing. But the exposure is on new funding that will raise it in a high interest rate environment.
I've also been interested in the duration of those facilities. And we also must be able to get a feedback from the department. Granted, the department is still to come before us, but on the specific one that relates to Trent William Dams, your 53 employees and the 2.5 million rand per month that goes out of your coffers. Mr. Chairman?
No, Chair, people that deal with money normally they don't make noise in this. They have to come so that they don't hear them. My point here, the last one, that part of your mandate is to deal with the mine water. Maybe no one can raise that. Because you remember, Chair, the Water Week, one of the departments, the Council Uganda Shepherd, we went to the stand, the CCDA stand. There was that huge project of the mine water, what is it? On the, yeah, you may want just to give us a snap, not in detail. Where are we not having a problem with funding in that phase? The project on the seabed and stuff. You know, just a little bit of, for me, it's quite important, Chair, just to grab hold with this mandate. And I think it's some area that you have performed very well, I think, my understanding. You may want to share that story with us. They're not talking about good things that you have done. The whole presentation is that you have not come up with what has been achieved so far that can make us feel good. And I'm just asking you to say something.
Yes, granted, though we are talking about the budget, we're talking about the future, it's fine. But that progress is equally important as we talk to the future.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Madam Chair. I think we did work with the Eastern Basin, and we've managed, including the Central Basin and the Western Basin, to prevent the decant and the contamination of the groundwater. All the plants are functional. The one that you specifically refer to is the Eastern Basin. That's the one that was constructed by TMC and PGA Mamun at a cost of around 1.2 billion. We are treating water and to the right levels as we and standards as we discuss with the department and pleasing them back into the system. The challenge though that has been put before us by the board, and I think it was raised earlier on, I can't remember, but that water, we're spending so much money to clean it up, and then we release it back into the system. And then your likes of Eskom and Sasol, they need water, and then we then sell them expensive water that we get through the Lesotho and for their products. So we have been in discussion with Sasol whether we can be able to the clean water, whether we can be able to directly take it through to them. But those
So the next phase is the long term. That's the one that I referred to in the slide. That's the one we were thinking of, the design, build, and operate. So the long term AMP, we are going out on a for the PSP. In fact, we're already out on tender for the PSP. We work with us in terms of how we procure a contractor that will be able to design the whole thing, build, and then operate it over a certain a period. So we're still really at a planning stage. I'll ask Ms. Anta just to touch on the cost of them.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Member, I think what I can add is that the funding for the long term solution is now integrated while the process is running. It was to recognize that it is one integrated system. The AMB impact is on the water availability of the bulk system, particularly to take into account the water, the dilution to the system, making it come off from fresh water from the Sutu. That is required to mitigate the effect of AMB. So, Honourable Member, what we are doing is that we are basically building on our infrastructure with a short-term solution, and then just today sort of quite proud of what we have achieved in terms of arresting the negative effect of AMB. We have stopped the cancelling, controlled the cancelling. We have stopped the environmental degradation. All of the waste that used to go down in the water courses and impact on the downstream users of the adding to their cost of treated water that has been mitigated. But long-term solution is that building on the vision of the Ministerial Committee to mitigate the impact of this climate change in the long term. So what we're doing now with the long-term solution is that we are now building a permanent solution. And that is the challenge, to do it in the most cost-effective and sustainable manner. So how that is now funded is that we are integrating all of the bulk system, and you are saying you are going to now put the funding in there. So what I mean is that funding plan that I mentioned for the current year, it also takes into account what we need to spend on the long-term solution. But also the impact of that was compromised by the Minister of Finance and the water sector users, and saying that that cannot only impact on the water users. It has to be borne, it has to be shared with the polluters, polluting in some of the places up here. Hence, two-thirds of that is going to be recovered from the mine users who will be environmental people. But in the meantime, while that policy is being put into place, the state is going to contribute two-thirds of the cost of treating the AMB.
Members, the lunch is ready.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. I'll try and be brief. I think that just on the Glen William, I think maybe partly the issue is that when I was addressing that issue, I did remark that it's unfortunate that the honorable member was one of the because I spoke to that and the other issues. When I finished my talking, and if the member was not here, he came after I spoke. And that's why I think I will then bear with him. I'll give him the benefit, because I think for our benefit, he has the opportunity to be here.
Let me also say I was not here as well.
Yes.
Let's speak to the meeting, not to an individual.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I think the Honourable Member Chauke is right, because I think it would be best for the department to be given the opportunity to present the whole case. Remember, we came here and we presented a case. At that time, it was said for bankrupt and so on. So we brought clarity and everybody where I can confidently say that when we talk about the 2.9 debt and so on, it has been pushed back, okay, to the extent where even Treasury was actually very appreciative of the effort that we take. So from that 2.9, I can confidently say you can remove 700 million from that. So that's how much we have tried so far to push back that debt, and we keep on trying. Now, when it comes to the Honorable Baston saying that we owe the water bonds 500 million and so on, but again, you will bring the fact, you will also see that one of the water bonds owing the department 1.7 billion. Okay. But all those things, when we come to the show, I've also said that 1.10 billion, the department at some point, and I wasn't here, they decided to use the water board as implementing agents for a variety of projects. So, and therefore, it was a case of, okay, can this one be done internally or will it be done by the water board and so on. Now, and I guess they were using the cost benefit analysis and maybe other things and so on. So, but now, the ideal situation was it to use our construction component where it is cost effective to do so. As I have given an example that they saw 80 built in Goa. So there is capacity in that component. So I did, even all other things being equal, it might be, I mean, to utilize that component, our construction component, would be ideal. Now, lastly, and I think this one must be now very clear, because I have not said, Chairperson, that the department does not have financial challenges. I didn't say that. Okay. Now, and I would be the last person to say that. I mean, being the accounting officer, I cannot come here and say, oh, the department does not have any financial challenges and so on. I mean, this committee knows that at some point in the last year, you had a situation where the department focused on interventions in drought and other things within the municipality through the ministerial directives. And a whole lot of funds were spent in those interventions. This is known, right? It was reported here. And that had a serious effect on the main core business of the department. Okay? So much that some of the projects, therefore, in the process suffered because there were financial constraints. And of course, the department last year was cut by 9 billion. Okay? Now, you cannot, if your budget is cut by 9 billion, you can't remain financially intact. So, yes, there are financial challenges within the department, and we are doing everything in our power to address that. And I think, Chairperson, yes, when we come as a department, we will outline all those things. Because obviously, the knock-on effect on the present budget, which resulted from the last year's budget, it's common cause. It's there. There are financial challenges. We are doing everything now for the process.
Well, why don't we do it the following ways? We clearly have been dealing with TTTA. And then, of course, there have been overlaps. When you deal with TTTA, you're dealing also with a number of infrastructure projects like Kremlin Dam. And clearly that is an overlap. Let's allow the department to come before us, and then we engage further on those details. I shall also mention that the Auditor General's office has also showed a very keen interest to form part of that they are a resource that we do or engage in oversight responsibility. We shall also be expecting them to come before us and also brief us alongside your briefing, so that we get one comprehensive set of briefings insofar as your performance plans are concerned, corporate plans are concerned. Now, without having to belabor the issues, I would rather propose that we hang on there for now, and until such time that the department comes before us. And having said so, we then have to thank TCTA for having made time, part of their responsibilities, to come before Parliament and brief us about their plans, and go for lunch and then come back for Brede Groots Investment Management Agency. That would be my proposal. Ms. Eberson, Mr. Chairman.
Can I just get clarity, please? While we're on it, the DG says the budget is cut by 9 billion. As far as we have, that's 827 million. That's the one point. The second point is, I hope they haven't used their budget of last year, 700 million, that was earmarked for infrastructure, and paid that to the Reserve Bank to reduce that 2.9 billion loan. On that, he needs to give us clarity. I'm not aware, and it's never been before this committee, that their budget been cut by 9 billion. I know of 827 million, which was reversed, the minister reversed that, and we need just to keep that clarified. And lastly, say, the construction unit was placed on King William in December 2013. They got the project, the DDG, the William Marte, sent them a letter. They were taken off the project. They started the project. Their own construction unit. Not a water board, the construction unit. And that's why we said that people now, they're sitting there not working, it's costing us money. And the tenders, say, on Clem William, has been postponed for 6 months.
But you agree with me that those are all matters that relate to the department. When the department comes for us, only then that we engage with such matters, with such details.
This is complicated.
We are saying the same thing, Mr. Chairman.
No, Chair, I think I want to agree with you that the NPA is one of the wonderful institutions. Maybe what we want to do, Chair, this is informed by what Honorable Pastor is going to say on the issues. There are a lot of issues. I think let's give him a platform. Someone in the committee, maybe before we close the next course for our chair, have a session where Honorable Pastor and some colleagues can share some of the issues that want to be discussed. So that when you write them a letter, Chair, that invites them next week or whatever day that they come. All of us are very clear that the department will come prepared and responding to the issue. Because one of the things of your chair that we've been trying to break through has been the issue of the construction company, right as the infrastructure from the unit of the department. We may have to want to deal with that, but just leave it to separate when the TCTA is based to the system of things before we close the next question.
So the concrete proposal there is that before we break, we have our own session. Is that fine with all of us? Okay. Okay, we are now expected to go to first floor for lunch. We are all invited. We shall come back at 2 o'clock. Thank you.
It will now be after lunch. Okay.
Thank you. help. It depends on the medication.
Thank you. Limpopo, Northwest and Mpumalanga, the areas where we can lift restrictions. I think that's what that comes to us, is that right? San Lance, Limpopo, Northwest and Free State. There's some of them that we can lift restrictions on. You've got to sign this notice as well. So those are the dams, and they were published in terms of these various gazette numbers. Something is at the last place where DG must sign.
Yes, I think the...
Common approach.
That has been the trend with your water boards. Until the situation changed, they themselves had to present themselves. At one point, we even had to bring all of them here, because we did not know them. They were expected to be accounting to us, yet we did not know them. But of course, also, we all came here. With time, the situation will change, wherein we shall all, your board, be expected to be here. That information is going to come straight to you. The extent in which also we communicate with yourselves as entities, it is proving to be a little bit difficult, DG, because the information we sent by your office or municipal office is not the same that at the end reaches the entity itself. It gets there distorted. We had an experience in our last engagement with the water boards where we had literally get four people from the same entity calling with different messages that they got. So to avoid that, it might just be of use without undermining your authority and how you know things are done. But just by way of information, there be one seamless information that comes from our office to the specific entity. Your communication among yourselves, we don't tamper with that. How it happens, when they come here, and all of those details as to how you prepare, even coming through here, those are your details that you deal with. But the message, insofar as an expectation is concerned, is what we seemingly are very keen on, so that there is one expectation. There is no two, three expectations. The entities having to hear via among yourselves that this is what is expected of you. There is one message that goes out there that requires such a feedback from any of yourselves insofar as your entities are concerned. So without really taking much of the time, you are at liberty, Mr. Chilete, to take us through. Not knowing whether the DG wants to come through, the minister is not here, deputy minister.
That's right.
Mr. Speaker?
We've had a problem in the past where we get just a percentage of the stone. And then we went to the other entity when we got the first part. Can we have a balance where we have the actual amount that we have and the separate as a percentage? It would be useful for us to get wrong.
Okay. I'm sure. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. May I also say I'm not here alone. I've got our team here. Next to me is Mrs. Zanele Mkomo. That's Zanele Mkomo. She's our chief finance officer. And next to her, we've got the young consultant, who is our senior.
far back as 2005 when the CFAs were introduced and established in South Africa. This vision is bottom-up vision. It was canvassed through stakeholder participation. And then they felt that in our water management area, it is important to talk about use of water quality for all forever, because they understand that water is key to our socio-economic standpoint of view. But more importantly, it also began to bring in a sense of confidence that when stakeholders are involved, the better for the water resource management. And then we have seen that over the years since 2005. As I said, I'm presenting the work of the board, which is carried through by staff complement of 8% who are females and 32% who are males. And more importantly, in terms of our water management area, we contribute 22 billion rand per annum to the South African GDP, which means we represent 1% of the GDP. And all of this would not be possible if there is no stakeholders involvement on the ground, and also if there's no dedicated entity like a catchment management agency on the ground where stakeholders are directly participating and making input. And in addition, the agricultural sector is the most dominant one, which employs 58% of our world poor. And through this structure like the CFA, they do get involved. And it's also important to say, before we were bred at Overbeck, and then in 2014, we merged to become the Bred Horace Catchment Management Agency. Word Bred is named after our river, which is the one of the major rivers, and then the other one is Horace. And I think it is important to say we also have a vision which is about managing water resources in our area of responsibility, because we believe that water resources are key to our socio-economic sustainability, but also in terms of our ecology. How are we going to do this? We are a people-centered organization. The involvement of stakeholders plays a major role in the work that we do. The benefits of that is you have people who then partner with government to manage water resources, to ensure that there's water quality, there's quality for water, but also promoting sound water approaches and principles, which perhaps it also contributes to us having some water even in this drought that we're having. Without that involvement of the people, I'm not sure whether we are today. I think it is important to know that we are not managing this water resources, raw water, for the sake of managing it. We are managing it as a CMA because we believe, number one, South Africa needs transformation in every aspect, but more importantly, we need to understand water as an economic activity that has to propel our economy. As I've said earlier, on 22 billion per annum, so on and so forth. If there was an institution dedicated for that, I wonder where we are today. We are driven by our values. We've got five value systems. The first one is integrity. The second one is accountability. The other one is empowerment. And the other one is accountability. And more importantly, the last one is equity. Equity in terms of our approach, equity in terms of transformation, and I want to go back to the integrity. Also in terms of engaging our stakeholders, we engage with them with honesty and dedication, and we really take their inputs very, very seriously. Which is in line with the National Water Act, by the way, the people-centered institution. I think it is important that our service outcomes with the institution are to ensure that there's equity and development, and that there's benefits extended to all our people and environment, as well as ensuring that stakeholders have a meaningful role to play in the management of water resources. And how do we package everything? It is important to say that our APP and the strategy plan is directly linked to the NDP and is directly linked to the programs of the state, of the government, one of the acceleration of opportunities. Some people call it inclusive growth, some call it radical transformation, but more importantly, it is directly linked to our mother body, the department. We've got eight strategic objectives that makes us to be easily assimilated to work with the state and to work with our partner. The first
third one is institutional and stakeholder relations, which is the premise of the National Water Act. Because these institutions were established to be people-centered, so that they, so the state partner with the water users to look after water resources. The other one is water allocation reform. Without water allocation reform, we will not be moving forward. Water allocation reform simply means making sure that the water that gets distributed, especially those who are either classified as PEE or historical disadvantage. In our area of responsibility, that is important. We're not only talking about allocating this water in terms of the numbers. We are also talking about the quantity, how much of this water is in the hands of the PEE companies and the individuals, but more importantly, they play a major role. We've had various conferences in our area where PEE companies were showing their case, what they have done in the sector. And the story is a very, very interesting one, because we then see that the CFA has done so much in our area of responsibility. The other one is water resource protection, the other one information system, and other ones fiscal support, which informs governance and so on and so forth, in terms of finance, complying with legislation like the PFMA and so forth. The other one is management and governance, what talks about. In terms of our water resource planning, I'm not going to put everything because we have the presentation in front of you. One of the commitments we're going to do here this financial year, we need to comply and finalize our catchment management strategy, which is a legislative requirement, but besides the legislative requirement, development of this document needs to be bottom up. We are currently busy running the processing because it's a driver of how we're going to run our water management in our area. I must emphasize, as I've said earlier on, there has been an increased interest in the work of the CFA, where the water users have begun to have confidence in the work of the state through institutions like the CFA. I think it's very, very important. When we pursue this work, we are 100% confident that it will be the work that represents the majority of our water users in our area, be it the municipalities, be it the individual farmers, be it the miners, I mean the miners, be it any other entity such as the Petro SA and so forth, because they all play a major role in the development of this strategy. And then under water use, we want to fast track the licenses that we water licenses, mainly prioritizing the DE entities get involved in managing water resources. And then under water resource protection, some of the things we are going to do is to ensure that there is a community rehabilitation project where we invest in the island clearing projects, where we also contribute indirectly to the public external programs where people get involved in indirect, getting some employment and economic opportunities, but at the same time, improving their knowledge of water resource management on the ground. As I've said, we are a stakeholder-driven institution. Under stakeholders relations, we also believe that the future of our water resource management lies in the youth. We've got programs where we go after schools to get engaged with the learners and try to introduce them to develop an interest in water resource management. And then we've seen some benefits of that, where the quality of our water resources is improving, but at the same time, we also see an interest in the state institution and being confident in partnering with the state. Under water allocation reform, we are committed to provide support to our resource poor farmers and technically in terms of organizing all other state departments. For example, if a BE farmer is new, we try to connect a BE farmer with agricultural research institution who at times come and study soil condition and provide appropriate advice what kind of produce that needs to be pursued in that particular plan. And we believe that we need to promote an integrated development approach. We are not exclusively looking at water, because if we only look at water, we'll be failing to understand the holistic picture that's required in the management of water resources, but at the same time, building our own DE farmers and so on and so forth. An information system, we also a technology-driven institution. We, through the department, we have implemented a SAP system that we are hoping for the end of this financial year, it will be 100% implemented. public support, there is no doubt. We need to have 100% compliance with the prescripts, and also as the normal business continues, we also conduct our audits as part of compliance. And then under the governance is the accounting authority. The governance needs to ensure that we comply with all the requirements, but more importantly, we live up to the expectation of our users, not of all of our users, but of the legislation as well. In terms of funding, the baseline budget for 2017, as we compared it with the previous one, from 47.8 million, it jumped to 82.7 million. The reason of such a big jump is not so much shocking. If you consider we moved from an area which was 20,000 square kilometers to an area which is now 72,000 square kilometers. So basically, our area has increased three times. But if you look at the budget, is supposed to have 4 billion. But because we're conscious about our financial spending, it didn't go up that level. We made sure that we stay within what we could afford to discharge our responsibilities and perform the function of the state. As you could see, 82.7 billion. You also understand that we are coming from an area where certain portions of our area are kind of a desert, and the resources that are required there are quite involved, and certain part of our area is relatively better than the rest. So it's quite a combination of everything. At the end of the day, we need to manage this for the benefit of our water users, but also to continuously contribute towards the social development of our beloved country, South Africa. Correctly put it, Chairperson, that the hours will be short and straightforward. I think I need to conclude by saying since 2005, we have been receiving unqualified audit reports, which means we've got sound internal control systems in place. And second, since 2005, there has been such a huge interest in the manner we manage water resources through a stakeholder participation. We have seen countries like Zambia coming to our water management areas, coming to learn from us. We have seen countries like Namibia coming to learn from us. We have seen countries like South and South Sudan coming to learn from us. So it means the systems that we are using at the CMA level and our legislation enables us to promote partnering with the state. On that note, Giyabonga. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. You have successfully managed to sell yourself. We can all. No room for your CFO. So you are almost everything there in the institution. Members, that is a short and precise submission from Bureau for it. DG, we have an issue. I'm reminded Mr. Tillett is not far from, what is that institution? The water board?
Ogabed.
I'm reminded now that Ogabed did not come through. At some point we shall have it right, we shall get it right. We still have some, you know, hiccups here and there. We need to come back to that. It's a serious matter. And then of course also we were meant to have had a rebel, but there were some changes and they were ready. And also, what is that other one? Mtatu's word. simply absconded, for lack of a better word. Now, we have those challenges that we need to deal with. They have implications. financing is illegal. And we need to do something about that. I'm just reminded by Mr. Tillesi of Overberg and a few other, which does not paint a good picture, I must say, for the department. We shall come back to that. Okay. Simple, straightforward submission by Blizzard Forest Freshman Management Agency. Mr. Chowdhury, I saw you. Zolaga has it.
No, we'd appreciate to have the straightforward presentation. But there are issues that one will not be able to solve. But tomorrow we'll come back and we know that Parliament will give us the question. These are the following questions. So that is absolutely important. I always want to be accountable for this. What you're presenting before this portfolio committee is quite important. The budget, I believe, that is coming to present in the department. When was that meeting held? And how many members of the board made that possible that I can come to this presentation? Can you maybe take us to the what related cost? I'm relatively seeing the in your presentation is the what related cost. And maybe you want to elaborate on the, what are these costs? I'm saying this in chair without any confusion, which I know that we may not have the specifics of the board's role in this meeting today. But if what benefits out of the allocation, what has to be accounted for to it, you may want to elaborate what is this maybe with your knowledge, can you tell us how does this board meet? How often do they sort of meet in line with the members? And how do you care? What is your role in their meetings and coming in with people? I just want those kind of details. They are just simple questions, but these questions are informed by one issue you said in the conversation. And I believe it's the previous board that we do with on the issues of taking ownership of the implementation by the government. You may sit here and dream that that point still exists and the point that is not as well. So it's important that at this level we are just able to share with us that is the knowledge that we have. Or maybe the department can want to speak of the operation of that. I want to know again that what are the that board currently can spend to how long just want to share with us that. For me, these are very important small questions so that for me, when you go and debate this budget and the work that you are doing internationally, but definitely you need to inform the department correctly that we have to move aside over this thing. And, but at the same time, I think I appreciate how we are doing this session. Not doing the question that we consider moving.
Mrs. Baker, Mr. McConnor, not yet.
Thank you. I just want to get a clearer picture about the state of the resources, the tourism, the NFL, and the forest river, with the current water crisis. How is this? How
they deal
with it, and if
you actually
have any
intent
on the water
tourism
future.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for a good presentation. But I can't wait to candidate is good, he must earn his money after he has worked. The salary of this fellowship is huge. I want to understand why we have such huge salary here, and what is the threshold? That's what I want to know. Again, on the issue of which Honorable Chauke has raised, the issue of the board related costs. You remember, Chair, we had an issue with Nkomati Usuthu sometimes last year, where the board members were remunerated monthly, not as per the attendance of the board meeting. So can we just clarify on that issue? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for all of that. let's welcome, where is Mr. Knight? From Water Research Commission? No, we are only welcoming here. We are aware that he's only kept for a queue for tomorrow. I would imagine he has come for his own gathering of whatever. Okay, I think the point raised by Mr. Speaker is very pertinent, given the drought situation that Western Cape is confronted with. As to what role is the catchment management agency is playing, given the challenges of drought. But I was also, and it applies not only to greater forests, I'm not sure whether it has anything to do with the formatting of, you know, how these reports are made. There is literally nowhere in any of the reports where the word parliamentary committee is mentioned. Granted, the lack of accountability have more to do with the minister accounting to parliament. I'm not sure if I'm the only one reading this. I've taken a note of that. It's not only coming here now. I'm not even going to mention anything about your own one report or your performance plan. I don't know how you get a sense that it was done that properly. And my daughter would have been saying, you know, there's a car that Makondo is driving. You know, my daughter calls it Propa. So whether it was a Propa. The reason why I'm raising that on a serious note, you would have been expecting, if anyone is to read this document or just pick it up anyway, there would not be any sense of ownership of the department of this, where you shall be expecting the minister having said a thing or two, the DG having said. I don't know whether it applies in your case, DG, where it was the only introductory notice that is written there, it's only from the chairperson of the board of Brede Horitz. Thereafter, you don't even have your own comments on this. It's only the chairperson. There is not even any of the CEO, CFO note here. I would imagine the CFO one is supposed to be there when you deal with the budget, rather plan lacking that, so that there is a sense of ownership apart from Parliament. Parliament is something else. But for the department, here is a note by the Minister, Deputy Minister, the DG. Before then, there is your own. I'm just curious about that. I would have wanted to get a sense from yourselves. You do mention something along the line that says your systems are drawn, that you are applying now or implementing now, are drawn from that of what the department has put up through CEP. Could that be, of course, the department would be the ones that shall be expected to respond on this one, that this is a systems-wide application, and what could be those entities that the department has been able to pull together under the system. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will respond to the question as posed by our honourable members, where I leave some gaps, because I don't work alone. I will leave it to my team, because the team. Regarding the accounting authority question from honourable member Mr. Chawubi, yes, indeed, the board is fully aware of this presentation. Yes, the board approved each and every APP before it submitted to the department. This was duly approved by the board at this sitting in November last year as a draft, and also when we submitted this year in January, the board signed off on the APP, and our last meeting was on the 30th of March this year, where again the board expressed its confidence in the plan that we've come up with. So my last interaction with the chairperson, who was the main contact between the management and the board, we communicate on a regular basis. The last communication was yesterday. It's fully aware that this presentation, therefore the work that we've presented here is the work of the board. Regarding the board related cost, board related cost refers to the cost such as sitting, meeting attendance, and so on and so forth, and those costs are paid as per the directive coming from the department. It's very, very clear how to pay and what to pay. That is coming directly from the department. And then as per the policy at the time, I'm aware that the department is working on the new approach. Perhaps the department is better placed to answer any additional questions if they wish. In terms of whether our board meets, yes, the board meets on a regular basis. We've got planned meeting per the financial year, which is one per quarter. And then prior to the board meeting, we also have committee meetings. We have three committee meetings, being the audit and risk committee. The other one is human resource and remuneration committee. And the other one is technical committees. All of these meetings, all of these committees, they operate under charters, the board charter, and therefore their own charters as approved by the board. They submit their report on a quarterly basis to the board, reporting on their web. And if there are any policies that need to be approved, those policies are approved by the board itself. My final question is on the tenure of the board. I would like to refer that question to the shareholder. I think the shareholder is more competent than me to answer the question. In relation to Mrs. Baker's question on the status of the BDCMA insofar as the draft is concerned, we are playing a very, very important role in terms of engaging our water users, be it municipalities, be it the irrigation board or the Rural Water Association. We attend almost all the meetings as brought to our attention of various water committees, where we do presentations. area. So there's a regular engagement with water users, and where we diligently preach the drought challenge that we have, and that we need to pull our hands together in dealing with the net. And then, but generally, our water resources, our rivers, are quite relatively okay, because we do have water monitoring points in most major of our rivers, and we collect the results on a monthly basis. We take these results to an accredited laboratory where they get analyzed, and then we get the results. If there are problems, we do approach those water users. And I must say, it has been a report, a very positive report so far as it is concerned, but it doesn't mean that there are no challenges. There are challenges. The other question from Honorable Mr. Mukanda was saying, why our salary bill is so huge? Why is it a huge bill? Perhaps I need to say, the system that we are using is currently exactly the same as the salary structure of the department. So we did not formulate our own system at the moment, because we are a growing organization. We are mindful of the financial needs that we need to have. And importantly, unlike other entities, we do not generate any additional income outside the work that we provide. We are a service-oriented entity, and all the work that we do, we hardly hire consultants. The work that is being rendered to our water users is currently done by our own officials who are trained in various areas. So hence, it shows that quite probably the salary will not be so high. But if you take that all that into account, you realize that in actual fact, it is justified. On the opening remarks by the various components, I do accept that probably is something that we need to work on. But as far as the APP is concerned, it carries the signature of the CFO, the chairperson of the board, and the CEO. So in that aspect, at that time, I thought maybe that would be enough. But it doesn't mean that we cannot accommodate your concern, chairperson. Regarding the system, the SAP system, this system, it wasn't of our own making. It came from the department. The system that we're working on was passed down. But since it's a system that we were meant to believe that it would integrate our financial and other activities that department, we are implementing it, the implementation costs are not coming from us, they come direct from the department, so there's a maintenance cost, including licensing. I'm not sure that that's correct.
Mr. Chair, what role
are Why do you do that? It's like it is an instruction
from
the minister.
Why?
Well, it's an instruction because it came in as a way of curtailing the exorbitant cost that we deem to be unnecessary in certain instances. But in our own CFA, we haven't seen it, but in other instances, there were. I think the minister was trying to ensure that there is a common approach throughout and is consistent. I think perhaps the Honorable DG can give more light to that.
Chairperson,
chairperson, I think, retired. And then we have an acting chairperson who is a black male and who's contributing towards transformation of this, entity. Now, the board cost chairperson. We put a kind of ceiling or a curve, cap on the board remuneration at around about 1.2 million. Because what we had was the practice of many, many board meetings and board members also serving on subcommittees and et cetera. So the board remuneration, we have a policy on that, and the policy is adhered to. But if we deemed it prudent to advise the minister to put a curb or a ceiling on the board remuneration, so we don't exceed that 1.2. And I think then the idea of this boards is that they are localized boards. One of the main issues of integrated water resource management at a local level, when you have a board of a catchment management agency, majority of the board members are local people. So you save on the travel cost and hotel accommodation and all of that. The Greater College office operates out of Worcester. But I think that we applying this directive to curb the board remuneration is a good thing, or else the board remuneration could get out of hand. It becomes a challenge for us. The salary bill, Chairperson, this is listed as a 3A public entity in terms of the PLA. And then the remuneration packages are structured according to the DPSA, the National Treasury Guidelines, which is what the public servants get remunerated. So that is where we are. But also the highly specialized team that has to be involved in water resource management in the CMS is expert and people who have scientific and technical knowledge, etc. So we can't outsource a lot of the functions. There's probably, for example, I'll give you an example of something that had to be outsourced was when we had to write the catchment management strategy. Then we have a management company or one of these consultants that can do that, because the capacity to write within the organization is a challenge. But all other functions, the water resource management function, is performed by the team, Mr. Buthelezi's team, hands-on. So there is a limitation on the number of consultants that we are using, and I think in this case we are adhering to the austerity measures of the National Treasury. I think I've covered all the questions, but the two ladies who deal with this, Stoko and Ms. Stacey, I don't know if they want to add to what I've already said.
Okay.
No. You don't want to talk anymore?
It was not necessarily for the water, the catchment management agency. It was for the entire department and its entity. Sitting here, chair, you can be guaranteed. want to understand the attendance.
Yeah.
But we are raising a concern, DG, in relation to this issue, where board members that are treated like any employees, when they are not there every day, what are the day to day running of this entity.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My apologies again, because it's a report that we just came in. It was well presented. Nonetheless, these are quite delicate issues. And I think we just came to that. Now, on the point raised by my colleague here, the colleague, it will be important to say, repeat here from the government, in between Parliament. What is the monitoring mechanism of making sure that the board members attend and they do charge them communities that are going to accept? Now that they are reporting what I'm going to request here that we receive the attendance register of submitted. This is what concern honestly, just tell us, what is your of that?
I guess the issue here is this issue that we're raising is that when I ask a question as to why are your board members being remunerated on a monthly basis, I remind you the simple answer to that question should be it's policy, it's a directive, it's a wrong directive. It's a wrong policy. I don't remember any one board where people are to be remunerated on a monthly basis. In fact, it is supposed to be the other way around, wherein your board members are incentivized for coming to board meetings. As we speak now, they have no incentive to come to meetings. And that question is very personal. Attendance register. Without knowing, I can just assume that they have a poor attendance register. Precisely because there's no incentive. I know some board members who would really be yearning to go to a board meeting. Precisely because there is incentive there. Sitting even in some of the subcommittees of any board, again, there is an incentive for attending any particular board meeting or subcommittee there. But when there is no such, it's just a, you know, we did talk about this last time. Was it last time? We did talk about it last time. We were given an impression that that is going to come to a stop. Am I right or wrong? We're given an impression that that is going to come to a stop. Precisely because it was recognized that it was wrong. It is still wrong even today. If we're going to go to the notes of our last meeting when we had a discussion on this matter. So we need to act on this as per our own discussion and decision of last year. We need to act on this. In fact, it is something that is wrong that must be corrected. Another formula or model must be adopted that really begins to run any board meeting or board in a proper governance way. Here we don't have employment situation where the board members are earning remuneration monthly. I can't imagine that happening. Because I'm sitting here trying to think as to what other boards or what other organizations do have such a practice. I can't think of any. Okay.
Please respond to the question.
Okay. No, we're giving you
such
a response.
No, I was saying that the situation of paying people, board members, what they call stipend or in advance, we have corrected here last year, and it was raised by the honourable members. We then issued a practice note, I have a copy of it here on the iPad, that basically went out to say that this practice needs to stop. Board members need to be paid for attending board meetings, preparing for the board meetings and subcommittees. And the practice note said that. So the board now, basically, we evaluate the board's performance. So we evaluate the individual board members' performance and the board as a whole. In other words, to what extent is the board giving strategic leadership and direction to the entity? We're happy with this board's performance in terms of that, Chairperson. But the fact that we have rectified the situation, you are correct, it was incorrect. It emerged from some policy that came from the DPSA and the National Treasury. And in all the years I've been dealing with governance, we have never encouraged the payment of people to sit at home. And I think we now haven't. We have, after you raised it last year, we've corrected the situation. The extent to which we monitor and evaluate whether the board members are attending and not attending, then we get a report that comes through from the entity on a quarterly basis. And we look at that report, and that report also attends. The legislation is also clear. If a board member absents himself without valid reason for three consecutive board meetings, then the minister can remove the board. So these kind of mechanisms that we have in place in the legislation, the regulation, the policy, is to rectify the situation of people who are board members, whereas they are not salaried employees. So we'll provide that to the committee, the practice note, and we'll provide the reports dating back to 2007 on the board remuneration. I want to assure the committee that we have taken the necessary steps. Then, Honorable Chalker's question is when I spoke about this board, the transformation of the water sector is a very important aspect. So we have had this board since 2007, and it had it needed to have done, the department basically needed to have let the board term expire and then appoint a new board. But because we were busy with the institutional reform and realignment process and the establishing of the other CMAs, etc., we went to discuss with the former minister the issue of continuity, and the minister said we extend. But the extension is until the new board is appointed. We are allowed to do that in terms of the National Water Act. So we will be putting out the advert to call for nominations for a new board for this entity. But Mr. Boutilet will also speak about the challenges that we have in terms of having board members who are not advancing the transformation agenda of the entity. And it's a big challenge that we have. So I think that having a black male on the board is basically a good step in the direction of us advancing the transformation, but also for the interests of the users. In any catchment management in a water management area, there is the contestation between the upstream users, the upstream farmers, or the, for want of a better word, white producing farmers, and then also the what you call the emerging farmers. But this thing is to balance that, make sure that the emerging farmers are not disadvantaged in terms of the water allocation reform. So I think that we take the points of the committee, and we have addressed the issue of these things. We will come back, and I will provide a written response on the remuneration and the dates and the attendance register as requested by the Honourable. But the document that guides or binds the relationship between the board and the Minister of Executive Authority is the Shareholder Compact. The Shareholder Compact is the document that the board signs
what it will deliver. This committee has oversight of this entity. In as much as the minister is the executive authority and the shareholder, this is an oversight committee. So that's why we come to present and seek approval for the annual report, for the APP, for the budget, etc. So I think we will reflect that. I think it was an omission on our side now. Honorable Chauke is correct to say that the heading of the presentation on the first page needed to be changed to say that this is a report to the portfolio committee as the oversight committee. So I'll stop there, and I think we have addressed. I'm not sure if EU wants to add anything.
Sistoko and Mr. Sisa, do you want to add anything?
Okay, that's all.
The question is, what is the practice today?
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing from Mr. Philip. Something that we have corrected last year, but what is the practice today?
Chair. We are all here. We are all here. Mr. Singh can't speak like he has just arrived in this place and he was not here. He confuses the meeting. His first response was, that is the practice. We want to save the cost. In a nutshell, that was his report. But when we follow up, he says we have corrected it. When? He corrected after we have raised the question here. It comes right. He confuses the meeting. In actual fact, what he's saying is that President Horace is wrong in their implementation of the policy of the department. That's what he's saying. When he says, here's the letter, we've corrected it, it's not right. When he responded for the first time, we were here, and we never moved out of the chair. And even when he responded for the second time, we were here. So there can't be two answers for one question. It can't be changed. It can't.
No, Chair. Now, what I'm going to propose we must do, Chair, with regards to the issues of remuneration, is that practice still exists, Chair, that money on the table? We need to get the report of how much and who has been paid to us, because I think it's not a deal at all. And that money must be paid back individually. Now, this is going to happen when we receive that. just try to be specific when. Remember, in the questions that we asked, we always try to get the specific. When are you advertising for the new board? And so that we are able to make a proper oversight and combine. But what are the timelines? You know, it's already clear we have to be together. At this point in time, we are going to be updating the board. Now, you have not given me the details of the composition of the board. I remember that you were saying the current board as it stands, how many things are you assuming? Would you like this color story? What are the color lines there? I mean, what are the qualifications of the manager? What makes it be, or what, qualifies this person to become a board member? Maybe you may want to share with us. I mean that in your advertising of the new board, you must be very clear the criteria, the kind of people that you want to attract to serve in the board. And I think we have just been very polite here. In fact, when we give such matters here, we may want to be very rough to say that this proposal in the department would not necessarily be proposed. That information is there. They are reporting every month. The department has in its position currently that information of our manager. So you may want to share if you want to be, take oversight at the highest level. And say no one knew that we get that information. But we'll do it with that we are prepared to have that. So allow them to go and particularly clear timeline. If we can give them 24 hours, so that information is there, we can get it to you. So I think that's good. But share with us, Mr. Smith, because in the quest for transformation, you're going to require this community to play a role and help you to use this tool. Because I hear that there's so much of resistance on transformation. And you must be able to share with us what are the facilities, where must we help you, and where we're going to help you first is going to help you to recover this money. That's where we're going to start the meeting.
Chairperson, thank you. Through you, Chairperson. The current composition of the board is 9 members, and there are 6 males, and there are 3 females. Essentially, the department tries to have a balance of skill. So one of the competencies of this type of boards, the catchment management agencies, is to have people who are learned, or experienced and knowledgeable in water resource management. So we don't need more lawyers and accountants and those kind of people on these kind of boards. So what you need is people who are knowledgeable about water quality. You need people who are knowledgeable about water resource management. You need people who are able to look at environmental considerations. You need people that are having the skill of how licensing works, water licensing works, and authorizations. So in the advert, we actually put out the advert to say, these are the competency and skill that we're looking for. But we did the exercise of providing this committee with the list of the board members for all the water boards. So we will replicate that, we'll repeat that, and provide that information for the 2 CMAs that we have. We just have 2 here. Yeah, Chairperson, I think the honourable members have made very valuable inputs to guide us as a department to improve our oversight, and I want to thank them. But the issue is that I think we'll have to accept that we'll have to improve our monitoring and evaluation of the board performance. Since having the shareholder compact is not enough, we have to have a greater instrument or a tool to improve the monitoring of the performance. That performance assessment tool probably needs a revision. But the department is currently looking at reviewing the policy on board remuneration and the policy on the chief executive's remuneration for the water boards. And we'll probably have to extend the exercise to the catchment committee. Thank you.
Mr. Philip, as we speak now, your board members are being paid on a monthly basis, am I right or wrong?
you are aware also that that is wrong.
I think we had a discussion with the probably the
one good question.
If
you are aware
yes.
that is wrong.
Absolutely, yes.
So we need to correct that. Will you come back? There's a proposal from the committee here that having gone further than having had that discussion last year, you disregarded what transpired out of this meeting, guided also by Mr. Singh. People got paid against the decision of this meeting of Parliament. So we have a position that came from one of our members here, members, and a very clear proposition that says, effectively as of when that discussion took place, and an understanding having been arrived at, Mr. Singh has a, did you say you have a letter to that effect?
We have a practice note, which is a policy.
A policy to that effect. So Mr. Chauke has raised a very specific proposal that says that money must be paid back to the press of government. What is our response to that?
Chair, very strong feelings about this, because this is not the only ward that we are speaking of. There are other water boards. One water board is the Victor, which has exceeded its term of office on February 2015. The entire board, not just the chairperson. And the act is very, very specific. And in actual fact, we need to have a minister here to come to us with regard to the extension of these terms of office of board members and the payment of these board members beyond, over and beyond what the Act says. And I have already made a suggestion to the department with regards to Mshatu's water board specifically, that money has got to be paid back. I have already put that in writing, put in a written request. There's been a court case and the court has ruled that that board is not valid. And yet, as we speak today, they are still sitting, they are still there. It's been here and they are being paid. But we need to look at actually all the board chairs, not just this one in isolation. We need to look at all the boards very, very seriously.
I want us to be very clear ourselves, first and foremost. I want us to be very clear ourselves, so that we don't confuse ourselves, let alone confusing anybody else and everybody else. Ours here is a very specific one. It relates to a policy that says the board members must not be monthly remunerated. I want us to just deal with that specific one and put it aside. Mrs. Baker is saying this is not the only board that we are dealing with. Against the backdrop of that precious note, against the backdrop of that policy, other boards have been continuing to remunerate their own board members on a monthly basis, effectively from that day when we took that discussion, informed by that precious note. That's what I want us to do, so that we don't confuse ourselves for now. The rest of the other issues, we can deal with them. But I want us to be very focused. Here we're talking about a policy that was adopted that specifically says no board member must be remunerated on a monthly basis. It's wrong. That's what we discussed here. That's what we expressed our views here in our last session last year, so to speak. Do we have a different understanding? Just on the specific one.
No, no, Chair, I think you're correct, Chair. But we stick to a position taken which is clearly understood by and the money was released. And this is what has been discussed now. I think I want to further say, Chair, that because the department has this information that we received through the report. Therefore, we are asking them just to reinforce the point to recover that money back, pay it back in the district account within a period of 7 days and doesn't look like before. Failure to wait, the committee will recommend us those who are responsible to have allowed this money to be paid, knowing this matter, seen outside the law, will then take the government themselves. Meaning that, that's why I said that. If it's either the Minister of Interfaces, Minister Green, or the DG, you're going to take the responsibility, you will recover that money from you. We want that information, we want to know how many persons are, how much has been paid the government, and recover that money. I think that's what we need. The issue that you raised by Mr. Baker, Chair, let us know that it's going to be meeting with the department, but as they go back, we want to get the report of each and every board status. Remuneration, appointment of this board, if the board leader does not, you will know all of those things. In the next meeting, we must get that report, Chair. But for today, as we are proposing, Chair, that this is what must happen. That money must be recovered. Fail that we those who are doing. If they fail even to do that themselves, if they have said they must pay back this money and they are not paying, it's a matter that this committee will put up a report to the legislature, to parliament, and make a recommendation to open a criminal case against them. So but there's no other way. If we fail to do this thing, Chair, we'll be failing to go.
Can I be concrete in that regard, therefore? next week on Tuesday, we are entertaining the department to come before us. Tuesday, we have the entire day to ourselves. Initially, the plan was to have the irrigation board. But because there could be issues of cabinet for Wednesday, or cabinet committee, and so on, we are safer for a Tuesday. We then bring or expect the department to bring that information before us as resolved upon by the committee. I tell you, members, that we are confining ourselves only to the board that continue to pay their board members after the discussion we took. Not just only to be confined to this board, but all the other boards. I tell you that we are confining ourselves only and strictly to the boards that continue to pay their board members on a monthly basis, whether they attend the meetings or not, but the remuneration still continued. That's what we're talking about. Are we okay with that? Yes, Mr. Chago was saying the rest of the issues you are raising, Mrs. Baker, we have taken note of those. But we want to focus ourselves and deal with one issue and have it on the side. Madia shall circulate the minutes, the draft minutes, so that we have it on record. We are expecting that the department comes before us next week. Before we start with our sessions, we should tell this.